The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode here on InsideCarolina.com, an episode of the Coast to Coast podcast. I'm just your host, Joey Powell, but with me as always, the two guys you are here to see and hear from and listen to and learn from, Sean Moran, Sherrell McMillan. Real, how you feeling?
I'm all right, man. Yourself?
Man, if I was any better, there'd be two of me in the world. Ain't ready for that. Sean, how are you?
Good. I'm good.
Well, we appreciate you guys joining us here as we record this on a beautiful Sunday evening slash afternoon here in North Carolina. Sean's on the left coast. Sherrell is just outside of exit 49 on Highway 85.
South. Yes,
south.
With the F, south.
Sued, south, S-O-U-F-F. Not to be confused with 95 South, which is much better than the whoop there it is version, because we around here on this podcast, we know that woot is the only there it is that we honor. But we appreciate you guys joining us here on InsideCarolina.com. If you have not, follow us on social media. Follow us on YouTube, follow us on whatever means you're getting this podcast. Go ahead and subscribe. That way you can have it delivered directly to your device. You don't even have to do anything. It just pops up. You hear us, you learn, you get smarter. You're one of the cool kids, et cetera, ad infinitum. Today, we got some stuff we want to talk about. I want to give a shout out to Johnny T-Shirt before we get rolling. But the stuff we want to talk about today is on the Coast to Coast. You know, we talk about basketball and basketball recruiting. And right now, we're in the middle of recruiting season. UNC, as we have set up for you in the past, has had an amazing slate lined up of visits with hot prospects that they've identified for basketball. And what I want to do first, we're going to break out the visits that are completed. As we record this on the 13th of June, there are four players that have already taken their visits. We're going to hear Sean and Sherrell's kind of synopsis of those guys. We'll talk about who's left to come. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll talk about some more of the kind of stock up, stock down, larger, wider angle lens view of these players. With that being said, shout out to John T-Shirt for sponsoring the show. We'll talk about more from them in a minute. Visits that are completed so far. Will Shaver. Is it Jalen Washington? I'm going to get Jalen's and my Jane's mixed up. Jalen Washington, Austin Taylor, and just finished this week, Derek Lively. Sherrell, what can you tell us about all four of those players from a sense of, you know, some of them you've been able to talk to, some are rather evasive, some you're just trying to give the kids some space because you know that this isn't their only world. What are your thoughts based on the four visits that have happened already, and how do you feel like Carolina fans and the coaching staff feel?
You know, it's cliche because after every visit, you ask someone how it went. They say, oh, went great. Visit was good.
You
know,
nobody's ever like, told you it was the worst visit they've ever had in their lives.
I mean, somebody said that, not about UNC. I won't say who it was, but I've heard that one like once or twice. Like, actually, that confirmed that we didn't want to go to that school. I have heard someone say that. But in general, you're never going to hear that. So it's kind of trying to more so talk to the people around the recruit and kind of get their feelings, say, okay, yeah, it was great. We know they blew you away. We know you did this, you did that. What really stood out to you all? And I think that's where the meat and the true answers come from. And I would say in doing that background, I think they really made an impression on Jalen Washington. They obviously made an impression on Will Shaver. I think they made an impression on Justin Taylor as well. Taylor and Derek Lively, we haven't been able to talk to you yet. I think Taylor actually just gave like a couple quotes to a media member here for the first time this month, earlier today. But, you know, kind of what we've been hearing is that the visit did go well, and not just like a cursory visit that went well. Like, actually, there was movement. We talked to someone close to him and just talked to, they raved about how good of a job the North Carolina staff did with talking to Justin, with recruiting him and everything. So, I think, I think they're in a good spot. I would say that. I think North Carolina has always been a program that if they can get you on campus, you know, they feel really good about their chances. And I think that's the same thing with Lively, with Taylor, with Washington, obviously, again, with Shaver. I think Washington, I think that was a big mover. And I think that really opened some eyes. I think you can tell from his post-visit interview and then talking to people around him. So, you know, I don't know who's deciding when, but you asked a couple of weeks ago if UNC would have to commit. And I was like, no. And of course, you know, 2 days later, Will Shaver commits. Like,
Will Shaver does not care for your predictions, sir.
It is the curse of this podcast. Every time we say something's not going to happen, it happens within a day. But, I think they have a very solid chance with a few of these guys. Like, I really, really think they've done a good job in the visits from not just your general it went well, but from actually talking to people and trying to get down to whether it really did go well or not.
Something I do want to put out there too, for our listeners and folks that are inside Carolina subscribers and readers. We understand that, you know, there's always this desire to hear from these recruits post visit. And please know the IC staff, if they can get one, we'll get an interview with these kids. But sometimes some of these players just don't want to talk, or they've been burned before, or they get tired of talking to publications. So just kind of understand that if there's news to be shared, that IC will, as always, share it with you, and they will double, triple confirm it. When I say they, it means Sherelle, Don, any of the recruiting guys, and of course, Greg, Ross, any of the people that write for Inside Carolina, they're going to triple confirm something. They're not just going to print something just to have a post-interview release. All right, let me get off my soapbox. Sean, out of those four players, you've actually had a chance to see some of these guys play. I know you've done a really good kind of synopsis of their game a little bit that you've posted a lot of on Inside Carolina in the past. Any of these guys, do you feel like between Shaver, Washington, Taylor, and Lively that you think would preclude each other? You know, just based on how their games fit.
It's a good, and definitely not with Taylor, given he's more of a wing, and the other three are bigs. I think Washington is being pitched more, you know, at the four spot, kind of the 4-5-4. And Lively, you know, I think is a true five, so I could see him and Shaver from a positional standpoint being the same. But I think in terms of, you know, talent level, Lively is most likely going to be a one and done type player. So it could be a role where, you know, maybe he's getting the earlier playing time, and then Shaver's, you know, one that's coming along, and as his career goes, is building into, you know, what everybody hopes and expects, you know, in year three and four. So I would say really, Shaver and Lively in terms of the positional aspects. And, you know, from Sherelle's article, Washington, they talked about the four. I still think, he'd be more comfortable at the five, you know, if they're playing the small ball lineup. But once again, we'll kind of see how that narrative shapes out. And I know we talked about it last time with Shaver, is that I don't think he's going to be scaring, you know, any of the top 20 guys away by any means, but he's a good roading block to build on for the long term.
So two questions I want to ask you. One, do you feel like all four of those guys that have visited UNC so far could start in year one if they were to commit to Chapel Hill? You know, we know Shaver already has, but do you feel like the three other players could start independent of any roster analysis? Do you feel like they have the talent to start at North Carolina?
Well, I mean, I think from a big man position, that there will definitely be a need with really McCoy as the lone returner that we know of. Obviously there's the potential transfer portal, et cetera. But Washington, I think definitely, Derek Lively from a talent standpoint, I think there's still a lot of improvement offensively, but defensively, you know, right off the bat, you know, he's basically seven feet and can run the floor, block shots. He's still kind of growing into his body. But he was, I know we'll probably get into this, but I think he was one of the standouts that everybody really talked about from the Pangos event this past week, that I know Bossy and a lot of others were at. And it was really the first time you've been able to kind of get, you know, such a large group of talented players together in the same spot outside of these more regional AAU tournaments.
Do you think, so this is the second question I promised you, do you think Lively could actually go some route of pro basketball instead of coming to college? I mean, do you see that in his game? Do you think that could actually be a path for him?
I mean, I think definitely. And I say that more just with how competitive, the G League as well as overtime elite are going to be in terms of, especially more for overtime elite, of trying to build, you know, that roster of 20 to 30 players where they have four right now. I think his size, his athletic ability definitely all stand out in terms of, you know, here's a guy that maybe he goes straight to the pros. I think from a body perspective, you know, he still needs to get stronger. He still needs to be more assertive on the offensive end. Even in AAU, he's playing with two of the top three guys in the country, and Jalen Duren and Imani Bates. I almost forgot the name of the top ranked player, but so he, you know, he's not a focal point on offense, but everything you read, he has, you know, he has range out to the 3-point line. But I think, you know, he could easily get maybe pushed around or, wouldn't be a top option in one of those leagues. But at the same time, I think he's probably definitely getting the recruiting pitches from the two leagues.
Awesome. Appreciate that rundown. And I do think there's been some scuttlebutt. You mentioned the Pangos event, and then also just, I think people seeing what Lively's skill set is. There's absolutely been some discussion about, you know, does he just, you know, avert college altogether. And every time I see Derek Lively's name, the Bob Marley Lively Up Yourself song comes up in my head. So I've been in a good mood today while we've been talking. Okay. The next group I want to talk about are the guys that still have visits scheduled. Jaden Bradley, Seth Trimble, Isaac Trout, and Tyler Nickel. And I want to discuss those a little bit. Cheryl, I'm going to come back to you, kind of same format. Which of these kids do you feel like UNC probably needs to make up the most ground with? Which of them do you think North Carolina probably has the biggest in? Just give me your overall feelings as to what we can expect from these next four visits as we're halfway through with June.
I would say, obviously Seth Trimble was probably the one Carolina had the biggest in with, not because of really anything other than, you know, he's been on campus, I want to say hundreds of times, but a lot of times with his older brother. So they have that going for them. I don't think that's going to particularly impact this recruitment other than that. But that is an in for UNC. And then I would say, Jaden Bradley is coming next week as well. And Bradley's already visited Michigan. He was at Alabama this past weekend. Trimble's already visited Marquette. He will have visited Michigan before he goes to Chapel Hill. So you can start to see kind of North Carolina and Michigan here lately really honing in on some of the same players. Jalen Washington has a Michigan offer, I believe, and some other players. So I find that interesting, and that those two programs are starting to compete with each other a little bit more than they have in the past. Jalen Wilson a couple years ago was another one who they both recruited. So you have those two. And then Isaac Trout is coming towards the end of the month, and as is Tyler Nickel. And Nickel is the only one of this entire group who has yet to receive a UNC scholarship offer. The assumption is maybe if they like him enough, it'll come on the visit. But I think it says a lot about his interest that he's willing to even take a visit or an official visit, which his father told us, to UNC without a scholarship offer. So you have to think Nickel and maybe Trimble seem to be the most in for UNC. Trimble because of a family relationship, Nickel because he's visiting officially without an offer. And then there's Trout. I think a lot of people don't really know, again, from Nebraska, a lot of people don't know what he's thinking or how far he's willing to go from home. But we know he's talking to some Carolina commits. You know, there's the whole video with him in a Carolina t-shirt dunking, and everybody's trying to put pieces together. But, we'll see. Again, once UNC gets guys on campus, they are very confident in their abilities to showcase, you know, not really, playing time or selling themselves, but showcase the program and the family environment. And they do it well, and they've done it well for a long time. So I would say all bets are off. And if you ask if there's going to be another commitment before July, I think this time I'll say yes, just because last time I said no. So like the odds are maybe this time I'll get it right. But I think some of these guys are close to making decisions one way or the other on particular schools. And these visits over the next couple of weeks are going to push them one way or the other.
I gotta say, man, you're really showing your veteran savvy and learning how the podcast works and trying to call your bets in otherwise. You know, you make a great point about Michigan and North Carolina, and that's probably something we could spend a full podcast talking about, you know, in the sense that how many parallels are between these two schools now. They're both public, have great reputations for education, while their geographic separation is, you know, something that's likely kept them separated for recruiting in the past. There's a whole lot of similarities now. I think Michigan still sees themselves as, you know, a powerhouse based on their historical success. You know, you've got two guys that are head coaches that used to play in the NBA. There's a lot of parallels there. And since you point that out, I think it's something that our listeners and viewers should probably pay attention to, is how many guys are now having that Venn diagram overlap between scholarship offers from both staffs. Sean, what's something that you're expecting out of these coming players? You know, again, these are different set, you know, whereas the first guys that came and played, you saw a lot of guys that played, you know, to your point, the 4-5, some one wing player in Taylor. But then it looks like we're going to have a little more from the wing and a little more backcourt action if you're just analyzing the position play for these guys that are coming in, the next four. What are your thoughts about how they may fit or what their games may bring to Chapel Hill should they decide to wear the Carolina blue?
Yeah, well, I think in general, one of the things when I first saw the larger list, you know, that got me excited was, you know, there's a lot of positional difference between everybody. Sure, there's overlap between one or two guys, but for the most part, you're really seeing almost all positions, you know, come on campus during the month of June. And now you're starting to, you'll see more of the guard and wing oriented players. So I think with Bradley and Trimble, once again, that's back to back. And I think, you know, just nature's course, you're going to be, you know, they know each other's are, you know, back to back. So I think there's going to be, could be pressure more so than kind of a standard visit in terms of if somebody really likes Carolina, of feeling that pressure to be the first one. And then when you go down to Trout and Nickel, you know, Trout's more of kind of a true, you know, I'd say modern four, kind of a stretch four, where he'd be like a 4-3 versus Washington, who I think, you know, 4-5, 5-4. And then you have Nickel, who, you know, I think is almost a little bit in the same kind of a mix between Trout and Taylor almost. So I think right there you have really two positions that can compete with the point guard. And then coming in on the wing, potentially stretch four position. So once again, when you look at it throughout the whole month, you have a lot of positional versatility, but it does seem like there's a little bit of the grouping going together when it comes to, you know, the different weeks in June and the positions that they're looking at.
I think that definitely sets up well for how the well-known scrimmages shake out between current players and former players on campus. When you get these recruits there, it was a lot of the bigger guys, and now you're bringing some backcourt players here for the next couple of weeks. Sherelle, I want to ask you this one very poignantly. Jaden Bradley and Seth Trimble play the same position, very similar. Do you think this is an either-or situation for North Carolina? I mean, you know, when you have a chance to take both talents, you would think that Carolina would take both if they both wanted to come. But as Sean and I were talking before the show, I kind of feel like they probably won't want to play with each other just because of the way their games are set up. How do you feel like that sets up for Hubert Davis and his staff with both of those kids coming back to back?
Yeah, for North Carolina, I think for sure they would take both of them. You know, they wouldn't turn either of them down. It's just a matter that the likelihood that those two guys will want to play together, considering the position overlap, is very slim. I'm not going to say never, because you just don't know, but it's very, very unlikely. So I think the way Hubert Davis approaches it is he's recruiting both of those guys hard as if they are his primary target. And, you know, if they get one of them, they'll be happy. If, you know, obviously they want to get at least one of them. They seem to be pulled out from the rest of the class as far as North Carolina's you know, lead guard, what they want in the lead guard. Now they have talked to some other guys who play in the backcourt, but they don't have offers and they haven't confirmed visits or official visits or anything. So these two guys are kind of it for now. So I think the plan is to see which one, you know, is ready to maybe make a commitment or kind of say, hey, in the background, I think you're my leader, but I just want to be sure and check out a couple more schools, that kind of thing. So I think that's what they're trying to kind of figure out, kind of feel out where they are in the decision-making process. You know, if one of these two guys says, you know what, actually, I think I'm going to push this into the spring. Well, then, you know, Carolina probably goes in a different direction. So you're trying to find ways to differentiate between the two. And I think that's what's going to happen in the visit. And I think the families are doing the exact same thing. I think, you know, Jaden Bradley's family, Seth Trimble's family, they've never watched a Hubert Davis coach team, you know, play before. No one right. has. So you want to, it's a little bit of a leap of faith to commit to a first year head coach, not knowing his style of play. You can't go back and look at his tape from Stony Brook and say, oh, yeah. this is how he coached Stony Brook in 05. You know, that's not there. So I think the visits for Hubert Davis are more about like, making them comfortable with him and him, his personality, his staff, and then showing them in detail in the film room what he hopes to accomplish on the court and how his system is going to differentiate from Coach Williams. It's because, you know, when you think Carolina basketball, you're still thinking Coach Williams. It's going to take some time
sure.
for people not to think that. So to me, that's what the visits are for from the family side. And then I think Hubert Davis, once he shows them, you know, kind of his vision, then that will be able to help them decide, okay, well, I think Bradley is feeling this or Trimble's feeling this, so we should go this way or we should go that way. So it's all very fluid at the moment, but I think we'll have a better idea, you know, by this time next weekend, more than likely.
One of the things that I love about this podcast is Sherrill's affinity for Stony Brook. I think if we go back and listen to a lot of episodes back to back, you guys will learn that Sherrill McMillan, amongst many other things, is a fan of Stony Brook. And the only thing I think that compares to Sherrill's fandom for Stony Brook is our fandom for Johnny T-shirt. I want to give Johnny T-shirt a big shout out. How you like that segue? Was that all right?
Bro, you
leave. Yeah, that's top level. I want to make sure we give our friends over at Johnny T-shirt a lot of love, much like Sherrill does with Stony Brook. Johnny T-shirt, absolutely the home if you need UNC swag. Perused over to their corner of the web the other day, saw the site. They've got some new stuff in. They've got the brand new Jumpman UNC football polos ready for fall. I saw Sherrill's eyebrows a little ruffle there for a second. He's probably keenly aware of that. They've actually got something I mentioned on another podcast. They've got the bars of Chapel Hill on a beach towel. So if you think about beaches and booze and bars, why not get you a beach towel that's got all the famous bars of Chapel Hill on it? Take it with your family when you go to the pool or the beach or wherever it is that you're going to spend your time this summer. All I'm saying, y'all, is Johnny T-shirt has it. That spectrum I just listed is enough to make anybody's head spin, all the way from UNC coaches' sideline football polos to beach towels with Chapel Hill bars on it. You need to hit up Johnny T-shirt and johnnyt-shirt.com right there on Franklin Street in Chapel Hill, locally owned and operated, alumni owned and operated, and if you're an Inside Carolina premium subscriber, you get the extra 10% off your order. Go to the premium message boards, get that code, use that, johnnyt-shirt.com. Make sure we're showing the love to Johnny T because they show love to Inside Carolina and help us bring this content to which you, our listeners and viewers, have come to expect from us. I'm going to press pause for a second, let the national guys come in here and run some ads, keep us afloat, and we will be back in just a sec, talk a little bit more about some of these recruits and how we see the wide-angle view for the rest of the recruiting season for Hubert Davis and his staff. You're listening to InsideCarolina.com's Coast to Coast podcast. We'll be right back.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
New NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's the can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount+.
All right. Thanks for sticking around. We appreciate you being here, watching, listening, whatever it is that you're doing. You're spending time with us here on InsideCarolina.com's Coast to Coast. We appreciate it. I'm Joey Powell for Sean Moran and Sherelle McMillan, who are also here bringing all the news about UNC basketball recruiting and what's happening this summer. Sean, I'm going to come to you for this first one. After we've heard about these, you know, I keep going back to the eight guys, because they're the eight guys that UNC scheduled for immediate visits once the recruiting season opened back up and they could get these kids on campus. What I'd like to do right now is play a little stock up, stock down. Sean, you can pick you pick the names of the recruits you want to talk about. Try to keep it to those eight, but I want to see how you feel in some stock up or stock down, not just for the player's game, but also for how they may fit in the UNC system. Based on either some games you've seen, what you've seen transpire on the national landscape, whatever. So I'm going to throw it to you first. Pick your player, list whether you're stock up or stock down on them.
I mean, I think normally I'd be more of a either 50-50 or you know, stock down on guys. But I think, you know, for this list, for most of them, I have kind of stock ups. I'd say Jaden Bradley might be the one kind of in neutral. But I think, you know, the other guys are definitely trending upwards. You know, Justin Taylor, we talked about it last time, the Memorial Day weekend CP3 tournament definitely had two very, you know, poor shooting games. But once again, I think he's been able to prove, you know, going from kind of small high school ball to top level AAU, that he can hang athletically and has good size. So, you know, despite those performances, I'm going to have him as kind of the stock up. You know, obviously Will Shaver went from, you know, not really having any of the big time interest to now being committed to Carolina. He's a guy, still haven't seen him in person. I know Sherelle will get to see him the first live period, and I'm hopeful to see him the second live period, but was able to go back and watch one of his games today from the Rocky Top tournament. And, you know, he moves very well. You know, he could still improve on his agility, improve on his explosiveness, but, you know, he's very comfortable just catching and shooting from the 3-point line. He's always ready, whether it's off a cut or you know, a drive to the basket, his hands are up and he's ready for a pass. He's ready to be in the action. And then I think, you know, Derek Lively was a guy I saw early on, and at the time he lacked a lot of assertiveness on offense, but once again, he's been trending up. We talked about it before the pod. Wouldn't be surprised to see him in the top 10 to 12 of the updated rankings, just based on a lot of his intangibles. And then I'll close with Washington, just because I think he's been injured and has kind of come back from the injury. But once again, he's kind of, you know, I don't think he'll be getting into a top 15 discussion, but I think 15 to 25 is where he'll be kind of slotted over the next year. But once again, I think in general, I give stock ups to really seven of the eight guys, and Bradley, you know, at where he's ranked, it's hard to kind of improve on that a whole lot, but I'd put him as kind of a neutral right now.
Sure. Let me ask you a similar question, and you can analyze, you know, you can use the metric of stock up or stock down based on how you feel like the staff is trending with them or how they're trending with UNC, or you can look at their game. I'll leave that up to you, but same question, stock up, stock down on any of these eight guys.
Yeah, I think Jalen Washington stock is up, just from a could eventually end up at UNC situation. And, you know, it's funny, Brian Snow, who used to work for 24/7, now is the director of recruiting at Penn State. Probably about 3 years ago, he sent us a note. It was like, hey, there's this kid in Gary, Indiana, who's really good. Great kid, you know, great family, you know, quality student, plus person, et cetera, et cetera. He's the kind of kid that Carolina goes after. And that was, you know, I think beginning of his sophomore year. And just after talking to him a few times and kind of hearing how he, not just what he said, but how he said it, I have to agree that he's a gigantic cultural fit, just 100% home run kind of for what Carolina, you know, aspires to be, and what he is. So I would say Washington, and obviously that's some of that stuff's not even on the basketball court, but on the basketball court, he's, you know, kind of exactly what Hubert Davis has said he's looking for as he kind of tweaks UNC's system and moves forward, in that, you know, he can step out and shoot, and he can play in the post, and he can face, and he can pass. So he can do all of those things, very versatile. And I think defensively too, it's an area that he'll really do well in as a freshman, no matter where he goes, because he has such a long wingspan. He's able to block a lot of shots and grab a lot of rebounds outside of his area. So I think Washington is a really good player, and I think North Carolina is in a good spot with him. Whether or not that leads to a commitment and a signature and an enrollment, we'll see. But I think they've done as much as they can, and they're in a really good spot with him.
That should make a lot of Inside Carolina fans and readers and subscribers very happy to hear. Again, not saying he's going to come to UNC, but that there just seems to be a lot of fit, and that I think you hit the nail on the head in that you feel like UNC has done just about all they can do to position themselves well. Last question before we put a bow on this episode. Sherelle, have you been able to tell from whether it's talking to players, talking to any of your sources, any differences between the visits with this staff versus the previous staff and Roy Williams?
It seems through four. And again, we are limited in our pool of sources just because there are a limited number of people in Chapel Hill. So we have some, but it's just not as bountiful as it usually is. Sure. But from what I can tell, it is very, very similar, because if you go back and listen to, I'm not supposed to do this, but North Carolina has a podcast on its official site. Mm-hmm. You can go listen to it. And Sean May was a guest on there with Adam Lucas and Jones Angel. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how he recruits and how you don't have to sell anybody on playing time. You don't have to sell anybody on a role. What they're selling is, you know, the university. They're selling North Carolina itself. Mm-hmm. They're not selling a specific thing or a specific coach or a specific person or a specific building. They're selling the totality of everything that is UNC. And from what I can tell, that has stayed the same. Of course, you do the film room and you say, hey, we're going to use you like this. We want to use you like this. But mostly it's been about the family atmosphere, hanging with the players. Jalen Washington said his favorite thing about the visit was lounging, you know, with the guys watching the NBA playoffs. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing, not, you know, fancy light shows and helicopters and all the glitz and glam. You know, Carolina, it can do that, but that's not what it tries to show. And that was the way it was under Roy Williams. And from what we can tell, it's the same thing under Hubert Davis. They're selling UNC, they're selling the family, and they're not trying to pitch anybody on certain thing. They're saying, this is authentic. We really believe this. We live this. We all played here. We all lived here. All met our wives here. The whole Hubert Davis speech, that whole thing, they all have that story. And so I think that comes through. And so all that to say, the visits aren't very different. You eat a lot of really good, expensive food. You play pickup. you talk to academic people in your area. You visit the museum and the Jordan wall and take your pictures and you know, with in front of the wall and with your favorite Jordans on, and you talk to the coaches and all that good stuff. So the visit isn't, from what we can tell, much different at all. And I don't think that's a bad thing, because again, for the fourth time, Carolina does official visits well. It's well known, and if they get you on campus, they feel like they have a shot.
You know, you just gave me an idea, and we should probably talk to somebody about putting this together, but at some point we need to start tracking in the database which commits are wearing which shoes, right? So when they take their official, their official visit and have the photos made in front of the Jordan wall, you know, all right, two players that wore the nines committed. All the players that wore the fives went elsewhere. One of the guys that wore the threes ended up at Kentucky and one ended up at Louisville. Like, yeah, I think that'd be fascinating. Well, I don't know if it.
Well, it's funny. Jalen Washington said he wanted to wear, I think he said he wanted to wear the three. If I have this wrong, I'm sorry. I think he said he wanted to wear the threes and they didn't have his size in those. So he said, he told Sean May, he was like, well, give me some 11s and give me, and they gave him some fours, which, you know, the team just got
right,
I think, a couple of days ago. So they let him take pictures in the fours. And then he said the 11s are his favorite. So he was like, you know, it's just interesting because, I mean, if you're coming from a culture like these kids, they yeah, all have a favorite Jordan,
yep,
and they've all been in arguments with friends and family about which one is the best.
Yeah, so always,
it's fascinating to me, like, that someone, I was like, are you going to play in the fours? Or like, are you going right, to play in the threes? Like, I hope not. But yeah. So I just thought that was funny.
Hey, so to any of the UNC staff that hears this, go ahead and, you don't need to give me credit, but y'all need to go ahead and figure out what these kids' favorite Jordans are so you got them in their size when they come with their photos. If nothing else, you got that little edge. All right, Sean, before we go, do you got two pennies for me?
Well, I think right now, you know, they did a great job of identifying and offering players that are realistic and could be good fits. But we're only a few weeks away from the live period. So once again, all these all these players have been outside of being able to watch in person. So I think, you know, once July 8th hits, it'll be interesting to see, do some of the guys that they've been looking at that don't have offers, do they all of a sudden get them? Or, you know, how many new players pop in that they get to watch in person? Maybe it's a side court or something like that. But, you know, usually, you know, we have to go back 2 years in terms of the live period timing, and there's always a handful of players that maybe the interest significantly increases, or maybe there's a few new ones to watch out for right afterwards. As well as, you know, usually with Roy Williams, it was kind of the rising junior class that they would prioritize a little bit more the second or third week. And then, you know, they would start focusing on them because they felt good with the rising senior class. So there should be a lot of, you know, I think new names coming up, but once again, it'll be the first time that they've been able to actually watch AAU basketball in person versus the live streams and videos.
All right. Well, that's one penny. I appreciate it, Sherrill. It sounds like you're going to pick up the slack and give us the second 2 cents before we get out of here.
That's a couple, maybe 3 or 4 cents.
Feel free, man.
It's funny. You mentioned guys who are rising in the summer and become better and get attention. Watching the playoffs, I go back to Vegas, I guess it's probably 5 or 6 years ago. Rob Harrington was covering for us for IC. And he just kept, we have like a little group chat with me, Sean and Ben and Rob. And he just kept texting like, they've got to get on Donovan Mitchell. They have got to get on Donovan Mitchell. We're like, Donovan Mitchell, the kid from who went to the school in New Hampshire? He's like, yes. He's like, he's incredible. He's going to be really good. I think they can get him, but they need to go after him. They have to hurry up. They have to hurry up. And, you know,
whatever happened to that kid? I've never heard from him.
Right. They took their time and, you know, he ended up at Louisville and now, you know, he's going nuclear in the playoffs. So I think about Ray Felton. I think about Deion Thompson. I think about Donovan Mitchell. I think about Mitch McGarry. When I think about guys, I don't know why. There's more than that. But just guys who have had kind of came from nowhere over the course of one summer and became, you know, national recruits in no time. All of those guys come to my head. So that's one thing. Fun story. I think the other two things, be mindful that juniors or rising juniors can start receiving direct phone calls from coaches starting on June 15th. So that is the class of 2023. So the big name for UNC in that class is Robert Dillingham, obviously. You know, he has made no secret that he's a Carolina fan. But, you know, there's going to be other options for him as well. So that's something to watch. And then there are a lot of regional players who are very, very good that North Carolina could be interested in. And we don't know how Hubert Davis is going to handle June 15th. Some coaches use it as, hey, I'm going to go ahead and offer you a scholarship and start moving. Towards the end of Roy Williams' tenure, like they kind of called people every once in a while or texted, but nothing really, really serious. Like some schools at 12:01 a.m. on June 15th, they're calling kids like, hey, you know, we're gonna make this really cool and show you how important we are and try to stand out. But Roy didn't really do that, you know, towards the end of his career. So curious to see if Hubert Davis does that. And then coaches actually can get back on the road next weekend because there's a change a couple of years ago where two weekends in June were open evaluation periods for scholastic sports. So high school teams. Mm-hmm. A lot of Carolina Targets are going to be with their high school teams in various events throughout the country. And the coaching staff can actually go watch live. And that's for the next two weekends. So that's kind of a big deal. So just two things to watch moving forward as we go through June and then get ready for AAU ball in July.
And not unlike what you guys writing about this new staff have had to do, listeners and subscribers have to learn about how this new staff is going to play things. I appreciate you couching it in that example that, you know, we're going to have to learn and see what Hubert Davis and his staff do with handling juniors as of, you know, June the 15th or rising juniors, I'm sorry, and how they play these high school scholastic type events. I think it'll be neat to see. And I'm sure if there's anything to write, you and Sean will be dropping it on Inside Carolina the next couple of days. But I think that's it for today, boys. Anything else? Speak now, forever hold your peace.
No.
Seeing nothing, seeing head shaking, I think we're probably done for this episode of the Coast to Coast. Guys, as always, I appreciate the knowledge and the enthusiasm that you bring in sharing this with our listeners and our subscribers. To the folks that are listening and viewing out there, you pay attention. You got 4 more scheduled official visits. As Sherrill said, a lot of things can materialize. Things could change. I'm not really sure if that's going to yield any commitments or not. But either way, Inside Carolina will be on top of it no matter what happens. But For this episode of the Coast to Coast, I'm merely Joey Powell. For Sean Moran, for Sherelle McMillan, the guys who always bring the thunder, we appreciate you being here. It's easy for me to say. Special shout out to Johnny T-Shirt for sponsoring, for John Siegley for producing, and for you guys for being a part of it. And until next time, we'll talk at you then. This has been the Coast to Coast podcast for InsideCarolina.com. Late.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.